Have you come to praise the Lord this morning? Yes. Here we go.
I praise in the valley. I praise on the mountain. Oh, yes. I praise when I'm sure. I praise when I'm doubting. I praise when I'm lover. I praise when surrounded.
Oh, yes.
Because praise is the one. To life again.
born and raised back to life again. I was made for more.
Declare.
working through me. You're fighting for me. God is not against me. You're in it with me. You're working through me. You're fighting for me. God is not against me.
Thank you, Lord. Let's lift up a praise to the name of the Lord this morning. We thank you. We bless you. We praise you. Come on, can we lift our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord together right now? Honor him and glorify him. You're worthy of our praises today, O Lord. Thank you for fighting our battles for us, O Lord. For marching before us, O God. For leading us and directing our steps. Thank you, Lord, that you guard us and protect us and keep us. In all of our ways, we trust in you. Put our confidence in you this morning, O Lord. We praise you and worship you for being faithful to us day after day after day. We love you so much, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Father God, right now we pray that across the sanctuary, you would touch our hearts and lives. For those who brought heavy hearts into the sanctuary today, those who have needs pressing upon their minds and upon their spirits today, those who need your touch, Lord, maybe some who need a healing even in their bodies today, Lord, we pray for the healing power of Jesus and the helping power of Jesus to flow right now across this sanctuary. Touch us, strengthen us, and renew us, O Lord. You are the Lord our helper, the Lord our strength. You are the God who never fails us. You are the God who is always present with us. You never leave us. You never abandon us. You are faithful to your people. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering today in this house of worship with our fellow believers to declare our confidence in you, to receive from you today, Lord, to experience your presence, because we know that as we gather in the name of Jesus today, the presence of Jesus, your presence, Lord, is here with us this morning. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to do a fresh work in our hearts and lives today, Lord. Thank you for who you are, for all that you mean to us and all that you're doing, oh God. And thank you for the promises that you've laid out ahead of us. We look forward to the future with confidence because we know, Lord God, that you walk ahead of us. You walk before us, O Lord, and prepare the way before us. So we thank you, Lord. We trust in you today, O Lord. We pray for your blessing and your help upon our time in the Word of God today. May our hearts be encouraged and strengthened as we look to your Word together today. It's in Jesus' name we ask all of these blessings. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. Well, good morning, everyone. What a beautiful day it is in the presence of the Lord, and so good and so glad to have you with us in church today. You may be seated this morning as we prepare to move back to the 23rd Psalm again today as we come to our time in the Word of God. We want to remind all of you that there are no services this Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. We wish everybody a very happy and very blessed Thanksgiving this coming Thursday, and a blessed Thanksgiving week. No Wednesday night services, no Tuesday Bible study, no Thursday men's Bible study, and to give everyone opportunity to just, well, to eat. Just as much as you want, and to fellowship and to enjoy the goodness of God in the land of the living. How many of you would testify this morning that you are very blessed by the Lord? We are so blessed today to be his people and to be the sheep of his pasture. That's what we're going to be talking about again this morning as we look together to the most familiar psalm in all of the Bible, maybe the most famous chapter in the Bible, for a second week this morning, and Lord willing, a third and final week next Sunday morning. Today we come to the middle portion of the 23rd Psalm, but we'll read the entirety of Psalm 23 together, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now we link up the 23rd Psalm with the declaration of Jesus in the New Testament. In John chapter 10, verse 11, in fact, a great bulk of John chapter 10 is Jesus' teaching about his being the good shepherd. And Jesus makes this declaration in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That means Jesus is saying, whatever you need as my follower, I lay my very life down so that you may have everything that you need and that you may live, chapter 10 will tell us, in the abundant life that God has come to bring. How many of you know that living for the Lord is a good life? Say amen. So the Lord is my shepherd. Last Sunday morning, we launched into the 23rd Psalm with that declaration from David, the Lord is my shepherd. That was his personal testimony. As we read through the book of Psalms and find that many of the Psalms were written by David, many of them have his name inscribed upon the top of the psalm, a Psalm of David. As we read through the Psalms, we hear David expressing his personal relationship and his personal commitment to the Lord over and over again. In the 23rd Psalm, David testifies, the Lord is my shepherd. We know more about David than just about any person in the Old Testament. David was a shepherd as a teenager. He was the youngest son in a large family. And as the youngest son, he had inherited the duty of taking care of the sheep out on the hillside. In one portion, his big brother would say, why aren't you out there taking care of those few sheep out on the hillsides? But we don't know how many sheep David took care of, but he was faithful in his duty as a shepherd, as a teenager. We also know that David was a musician and a singer and a songwriter. As a teenager, he was invited to play for King Saul. Now imagine being a 16-year-old young man and being so accomplished and so excellent as a musician that you would be chosen out of the entire country to play music for the king. But David was that kind of an accomplished young man, an accomplished musician. David was a lover of God and a worshiper of God. He was a man of constant prayer and thanksgiving. And David was a man of amazing courage. He was bold and daring for the Lord, especially when it came to the things of God, but even in his own personal duties as a shepherd. David had a very strong confidence in the Lord. He knew in the heart of his knower that the Lord would be on his side, that the Lord was for him, and that as he trusted the Lord would take care of him. And David was exceptionally bold even as a teenager. As just a young man, David went out and struck down the giant Goliath in the name of the Lord. And throughout his life, David would prove to be very bold and courageous. He was a warrior for the Lord's kingdom. Even as a young man in the service of King Saul, the people would begin to sing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. David rose quickly on the scene as a man of exceptional courage and boldness in the Lord. We also know that David was highly emotional and expressive. He cried, he sang, he shouted, he rejoiced. Sometimes David fumed with anger. Sometimes he wallowed in discouragement. Sometimes he quaked with fear. How do we know all of this? We know it because David wore his feelings on his sleeve. Or maybe I should say it a little more. David wore his feelings in his pen. And he writes the Psalms and expresses in the Psalms all of this range of emotions. David sometimes quaked with fear. Sometimes he tossed and turned in turmoil, not knowing what to do. And sometimes David danced for joy. If we study the life of David, we see that David's emotions were all over the place. And how many of you know what it is to experience a range of emotions in your own life? Of course you do. We are human, and we know what that's like. At 30 years old, David would become king over Israel. But even then, all would not be smooth sailing. David's life was like a roller coaster. Ups and downs, and ins and outs, and goods and bads. David's life was filled with action and filled with adversity, victories and defeats, bad decisions and good decisions, lots of friends and lots of enemies. And by the way, lots of frenemies. Anybody know what those are? People who pretend to be your friend, but they're really working against you. David had those kinds of people in his life. But in every situation and circumstance, and in every season of life, David stayed close to the Lord. That was his secret, and that was his key to success in life. He stayed close to the Lord, whatever was happening. And he depended on God, and he trusted in God over and over again. He said, "The Lord is like a shepherd to me. He's watching over me. And he's taking care of me, and he's providing for me, and I'm going to keep on trusting in the Lord, my shepherd." And somewhere down in the pages of his life, David writes the 23rd Psalm. We don't know exactly where he was in life when he wrote this psalm, but this psalm is a psalm of trust and thankfulness. It's a psalm of confidence and hope in the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, last Sunday morning, we examined the Lord on David's good days. How many of you know what it is to praise the Lord on good days? Say amen. And we heard David say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And if we were to stop right there, we would have to say, wow, David had a very peaceful life. Not much trouble. Green pastures and still waters and paths of righteousness. Those are the good days. And David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and he is my provider, and he is my pathfinder. I don't have to be in want. He supplies everything I need." This morning we take a turn and we examine the Lord as David's shepherd on David's bad days. How many of you need a shepherd who will be with you in the good times and the bad times? Say amen. The first part of the 23rd Psalm is about David's good days, but the psalm quickly turns, as they often do, toward David's bad days. And we hear David declare in our scriptures this morning, "The Lord is my shepherd. When I'm submerged in darkness and when I'm surrounded by dangers." Now look at me, everybody. Psalm 23 expresses the confidence of someone who is following closely behind the shepherd. Are you here? Psalm 23 is about someone who has determined to follow the shepherd's leading, to hear the shepherd's voice, and to go the shepherd's way. Make no mistake about it. Down through the years and centuries of time, There have been many sheep who have come too close to the edge of the cliff and have fallen off because they have not followed closely behind their shepherd. Are you here this morning? And if you're here today and you're following your own designs and your own desires, I can't make any promises to you this morning. But the Word of God does declare that as we follow closely behind our shepherd, the Lord our shepherd, He will take care of us in good times and in hard times. But it's our decision whether we will go the Lord's way or not. David is expressing the confidence of a man who has already made the decision to commit his life to following the leading of the Lord, his shepherd. And David says, just as God is my shepherd on the good days, He is my shepherd on the bad days. And we examine this morning those two situations that the people of God sometimes find themselves in where they really need the Lord to be by their side. And the first situation David refers to is this situation of when I'm submerged in darkness. And we hear it in verse number 4 like this. Even though I walk. Now, I like the King James Version in the 23rd Psalm. I almost printed the King James Version of the Psalm for preaching this series of messages, and maybe I should have. I like the word even though, but I particularly like the expression, yea, though I walk. How many of you know that sounds a little more powerful even? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So David talks about a situation here where he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, many commentators have tried to deduce and understand what that valley was, but this is simply a picture to us of being in a very dark place that is not only dark, but has the feel of death to it. Are you here? Yeah, this place feels dark and it feels deathly, if I can use that word. The valley of the shadow of death. And David knew what it was to find himself in places like that. Do you know that for years of his life, David ran for his life? Do you know that David lived his early life up until he was about 30 years old? David lived much of his young adult life as a 20-something running from the king and his military forces as the king was trying to wipe him out. David knew what it was to run for his life. And he knew what it was to watch people around him who had defended him and had sided with him. He had watched them fall under King Saul's anger. And David spent much of his life running for cover and running for his life. He knew what it was to be in a dark place. He knew what it was to be in the valley of the shadow of death with his very life on the line. David knew what it was to experience that. I have to think, because as we read the Psalms, we find that David again and again finds himself in dark places. How many of you know trouble doesn't just come one time and then it's gone forever? How many of you know trouble sometimes comes again and again? And David found himself over and over in life in dark places where he was discouraged and needed the help of the Lord, places where he wondered if he was going to come out alive, or at least he wondered if his life was going to be able to continue with the same level of victory and success that he'd been accustomed to. David knew what it was to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But David says in verse number 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let's think about what David is declaring here about that valley of the shadow of death. When I find myself there, David is saying, first of all, you're present with me, Lord. Wherever I go, you're with me, Lord. I'm never abandoned. Notice right in the middle of that declaration, David says, you are with me. I'm so glad the Lord is with me today, aren't you? I'm glad that as I follow the Lord is faithful to make his presence known to me again and again. The Lord is with me. He never abandons me. In fact, that's the promise of God to his people. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said it like this at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be with you always, even to the very end of this age. All the way to the end, Jesus said, I will be with you. So even in the bad times and on the bad days, I'm never alone because the Lord is present with me. We see that playing out in so many cases in the pages of Scripture. We watch three young men walk into a fiery furnace because of their testimony for God. And we watch the Lord appear right in the midst of that fiery furnace with them to deliver them and to bring them through. We watch an old man praying out of his window and arrested because of his boldness and courage in praying to God, the God of heaven. And we watch as he is thrown into a den of lions. But in the middle of the den of lions, the Lord had not abandoned him. The Lord was there, and the Lord shut the lions' mouths and brought Daniel through the lion's den. We see it in the pages of Scripture as God's people find themselves in dark dungeons and midnight prisons, and they experience the supernatural power of God even in the darkest of nights. We see it in the depths of the sea, in the midst of a storm at sea, as the Apostle Paul is sailing toward Rome, and it looks like all hope of being saved. Even Luke the Apostle, Luke the scripture writer, says, we gave up all hope of being saved. But how many of you know that even when old brother Luke says we're not going to make it, the Apostle Paul can hear a word from the Lord in the middle of the night that declares you're going to make it through this storm, and you're going to come out on the other side, and you're going to serve me. The good news for the child of God is that God is always with us. And listen, when God is there, all things are possible. Hallelujah. The Lord is with us. And David says, you're present with me, Lord. I'm never abandoned. And you're protecting me, Lord, so I'm not afraid. He says, even though I walk through that valley, I will fear no evil. Now, had David experienced fear? Of course he had. How many of you have ever been afraid? Let me see your hand. The rest of you will cast the devil of lying out of you after service this morning. Of course you've been afraid. Of course we know what it is for even the enemy to strike fear into our hearts for a moment. But we have to determine as the children of God, if I really believe that the God of heaven is with me and he is on my side and he's for me and not against me, as we sang this morning, if we really believe that, then we'll declare in faith, I will not be afraid because the Lord is with me. He is my protector. I am not afraid, says David. I will fear no evil. David knew what it was to cling to the Lord in the seasons of darkness and difficulty. I want you to know, friends, when trouble comes, it's not time to run away from the Lord. It's time to run to the Lord and to cling more closely to him. David says, you're present, Lord. I'm never abandoned. You're protecting me, Lord, so I'm not afraid. Thirdly, David says, you're perceiving, Lord, so I'm not going to be anxious. Now think about this with me for a moment. David was also the author of Psalm 139 at some point in his life, where David wrote these words about the Lord. Even the darkness is not dark to you, Lord. Later on, David would say, the darkness is light to you, Lord. In other words, it doesn't matter how deep and dark the valley may seem, how many of you understand that the Lord sees through the darkness? Our shepherd who leads us along has expert night vision. Are you here? He sees through the dark. He doesn't even need a light at the end of the tunnel. He sees through the darkness all the way through that process, and he knows what's up. Not only does the Lord know what's beyond the darkness, the Lord even knows what's in the darkness. The Lord knows where the pitfalls are. The Lord knows where the potholes are. The Lord knows where we might get tripped up in an especially dark place. But as we follow the Lord is faithful to lead us even through the dark seasons of life. Oh, listen, if I were wandering through some deep, dark valley in life, I would grab hold of the coattails of the Lord and hang on tight, and I would follow him just an inch away from him, as close as I could get, so that I would not stumble or fall. As we follow our shepherd, we have to understand that the Lord is the one who understands and knows all things. Hebrews 4 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Nothing's hidden from the eyes of God. He knows where we are. He knows what's in that valley. He knows what's lurking behind curtain number 3. Are you here? He knows, and he's leading us along. Friends, let me just tell you that sometimes, even people who call themselves God followers distance themselves from the Lord. They don't follow the Lord very closely, and they run into trouble again and again, and they think, well, where is the Lord? Listen, the Lord is where he has always been. If there's distance between you and the Lord, it's not the Lord's fault, it's your fault. Are you here today? The Lord wants to be close to his people, but he allows us to make that choice for ourselves. Will we follow closely or will we not? And so David says, Lord, you know all things. You see through the darkness. So I'm not going to be anxious. I often say, when I don't know what else to say, do you have some expressions like that? There are a couple of expressions I use regularly. One expression is this: well, it is what it is. Now, I don't have anything to preach to you about that today. That probably is one of my lesser spiritual declarations. Well, it is what it is. How many of you know that even when it is what it is, the Lord can make it something different? Say amen. But I also say on a regular basis, when I don't know what else to say, I will just simply say, well, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. Now, I don't know whether that's a comfort to you or not, but that ought to be a source of comfort for the child of God who trusts that the Lord is his or her shepherd and Lord. Well, the Lord knows. What I don't know, everybody try that on for size. Say, the Lord knows. I may not know, but the Lord knows. And David says, because the Lord knows, I don't have to be afraid and I don't have to be anxious. You're present, Lord, I'm never abandoned. You're protecting, Lord, I'm not afraid. You're perceiving, Lord, so I'm not anxious. And I particularly like this last piece of that declaration. David is saying, you're poking and prodding me, Lord, so I can sense that I'm not alone. Now, listen to what he says here. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, is everybody awake? Say amen. Amen. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, what are the rod and the staff for a shepherd? They are the poking and prodding instruments, okay? If the sheep needs to go a little different direction, that staff or that rod can come along and poke you on the side and move you in a different direction, amen? The rod and the staff. David says, the Lord is continually poking and prodding at me. So, this is in the valley of the shadow of death. in the dark place, the Lord is using his rod and his staff to poke us and to prod us and to direct us, listen, and to encourage us along, right? One of my most terrifying memories from my childhood is a memory from Dog Patch, USA, down in Arkansas. Is there anybody here who's ever been to Dog Patch, USA? Oh, a handful of you. That was the theme park for cheapies. No, it was not the best place, but boy, we traveled down to Dog Patch, USA, where we traveled through some sort of spook house. My twin brother Joel and I were there. My parents were there. I think David and Nathan, I don't know if David and Nathan were with us at Dog Patch or not. It certainly is not a memory that clings in David's mind, it sounds like. There we were in Dog Patch, USA, and we were making our way through a dark spook house of some sort. And we came across a place with an invisible floor. And Dog Patch was busy that day. A long line of people were traveling through the spook house. And we came to that invisible floor, probably about as far as from here to Pastor Bob. It was a glass floor where you could see down below. I don't know, must have been like the fires of hell down there or something. For a little Pentecostal kid, I didn't want to fall down there. And I came to that floor, and I stopped at that floor. I must have been 8 or 9 years old. I stopped at that, and I said, no, I'm not going over that. All of Arkansas was behind me in the line. And here we've got a hiccup in the process. We've got a kid up here who's not going to... I said, no, I'm not going to go over that. I don't want to walk over that. I was terrified to step onto that invisible floor. I was terrified. I'm sure everybody behind me was saying, what's going on up there? What's going on up there? So I digress, but it's sort of like that my brother Joel was driving across the Missouri River Bridge, and as he comes up into the middle of the bridge, all the traffic comes to a screeching halt. And everybody slows way down. There's some kind of something up there. And Joel said, what's going on up there? Everybody's slamming their brakes on and all that. And they all are making their way around some obstacle. And Joel comes up, and there it is, my mom, driving across the Missouri River Bridge at 15 miles an hour. Well, back to our original rabbit trail. I just wasn't going to go. But my dad began to push me. Come on, Lowell, we've got to get across this. Come on, come on. He began to press me and push me. And he stepped out and led the way and showed me there was nothing to fear by stepping out onto that glass floor. And we walked across that glass floor, me and my dad together. And that's how the shepherd treats us. We may not see what's going on. We may not know what's beneath our feet. We may not know how we're going to make it through. But as we follow the Lord, our shepherd, he's constantly poking and prodding us and pressing us to keep on moving and to keep on following him. I think about that rod and that staff, and I think about words of scripture. The scripture, the word of God, becomes for us the rod and the staff, don't they? We're afraid, but in our Bible reading for the day, we read some promise from God, and we say, oh, there's the promise of God. I'm going to make it. Huh? Right? The word of God, the preached and the taught word of God is a rod and a staff. We come and we're discouraged, but as we come to church, we hear the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or the song leader. We hear somebody sing something or say something or preach something or give a word of encouragement, and we say, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. I can make it through. The Lord is on my side. The Lord is not against me. The Lord is for me, and I'm going to make it through. And we're able to journey a little bit longer because the rod and the staff of the Lord are prodding us onward, and we're discerning. Listen, We're discerning again and again. Oh, God is poking me and prodding me with this, that, and the other. I see something and I hear something, or I think of something that the Lord is urging upon me to encourage me and to help me to know he has not abandoned me. He is still with me. He is still working, and he's still going to get me through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I'm submerged in the darkness, the Lord is with me and the Lord is working. When I'm in that darkness, I trust in the Lord and I don't have to be afraid. And then David lays out a second scenario for his bad days. Bad day number one, a dark valley, the valley of the shadow of death. Bad day number two, when I'm surrounded by dangers. It's in verse number 5 where David writes these words. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my what? Of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Look at me, look at me. Bad situation number one, the dark valley. Bad situation number two, enemies are trying to destroy me. And David says, when my enemies come against me, then the Lord prepares a table. Right? When I'm in the presence of my enemies, with enemies all around glaring at me, their intention is to destroy me. Now, we're quick to come to the New Testament and hear the Apostle Paul write that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. Look at me, everybody. Our chief enemies are the devil and demons. Are you here? The spiritual enemies that we face on a regular basis. Sometimes they may use human people, but our real enemy is not human flesh. Our real enemy are the forces of evil in this world that are trying to do us in and to destroy us. And David says, when my enemies are there, you prepare a table before me. Now think about that. Think about the picture of a battlefield where the enemy is on one side and the good guys on one side, the bad guys on the other. And as we're about to go to war and as everybody's threatening, somebody sets up a picnic table. And somebody, some nervy somebody, has the gall right in the middle of that setting to sit down at the picnic table and start munching on the fried chicken. Think about that. He said, well, aren't you worried about all those enemies that are about to come against you, making all those threats? Here you are sitting down there eating your fried chicken. What about all those enemies about to destroy you? And that guy sitting down at the picnic table says, well, I believe it's time to enjoy my fried chicken right now. And David says, when the enemies are surrounding me, the Lord prepares a table before me, right there in the presence of mine enemies. And David says, I believe I'll take advantage of that. And David makes these declarations in the psalm. At your table, Lord, I can recline and relax. If you're preparing, look at me. If the Lord is preparing a table for me, do you think I ought to sit down and take advantage of it? Listen. Many of you this week are going to eat some of the biggest meals of the year. How many of you would agree with me that if it's there on the table, you ought to partake? I look across today and I don't think I have to convince too many of you here today of that principle. If the food is there, eat it. And if the table is spread, sit down to the table. Now David says, the Lord has prepared this table, and so I can recline and relax there at the table, even in the presence of enemies who are threatening to destroy me. What does that sound like? That sounds like a peace that surpasses understanding, doesn't it? That sounds like the supernatural peace of God in the midst of the storm. Could I have an amen? That sounds like the Lord quieting our hearts even when enemies are trying to stir up fear within us. That sounds like the Lord is saying, don't worry about those enemies. Sit down and enjoy what I have for you. And the Lord prepares a table for me right in the presence of mine enemies. So at your table, Lord, I can recline and relax. How many of you believe today that God is God? I'll never forget years ago, one of our general officers of the Assemblies of God came to preach for us at a minister's meeting. And he shared some of the things that he asked himself every week. I tracked this down not long ago with a preacher friend of mine who was close to them and got those questions. I have those questions listed for myself. This great man of God asked himself three big questions every week. And one of the questions I'll never forget was this question. Every week he asked himself this question. Am I living like a practical atheist? Or do I really believe God is on the throne? Now think about that. Am I living my life in fear and confusion and fretting and worry? Or do I really believe that God is on the throne, that he has all things under control, that he's going to be faithful to me, that he loves me, and that he's going to see me through every trouble and trial until I make it home safely into his presence? And I believe the Lord is with me and the Lord is taking care of me. Do I believe that? If I believe that, then I can relax even when danger is around. At your table, I can recline and relax. At your table, I can refuel and refresh, because on the table is my supply. I can receive strength. I can drink the living water and eat the bread of God's presence at the table of the Lord, and I can find refreshing and renewal for my life, even in the midst of the trouble. Look at me, everybody. Even when trouble is all around, I can get into the presence of the Lord and I can receive strength from him. Are you here? I can receive strength. I don't have to go on in my drained condition. I can receive strength from the Lord to rise up and go another day, because the Lord is preparing a table for me even in the presence of my enemies. At your table, Lord, I can refuel and refresh. And at your table, Lord, I can revel and rejoice, because you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. David's writing there about the picture of the shepherd rubbing oil onto the sheep's head, a balm, a medicine, a healing salve, a process for renewing and refreshing that little sheep. But David says, as the Lord does that, my cup begins to overflow, and I begin to realize that even on troubled days with the Lord, I've got far more than enough to get me through any and every situation. With the Lord, I'm gonna make it. I said, with the Lord, I'm gonna make it. I said, with the Lord, I'm gonna make it. I said, with the Lord, I'm gonna make it. With the Lord, I'm gonna make it. You say, well, how are you going to make it? I don't know exactly, but the Lord knows, right? With the Lord, I'm going to make it. And I can revel and rejoice, and I can come to the place where I just, even in the dark valley, even when surrounded by dangers and enemies, I can come to the place where I'm saying, my heart is overflowing with the goodness of God, the life of God. That New Testament anointing is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within us and upon our lives. Aren't you glad that the Lord puts his Holy Spirit upon us? Aren't you glad that he fills us with his Holy Spirit to refresh us and to strengthen us and to renew us? And Jesus, our good shepherd, is faithful to supply everything that we need on good days and bad days. In fact, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus said, I will give my own life over to the sacrifice of death so that you might live. Jesus was acknowledging that he would die on an old rugged cross to pay the price for our sins, to be forgiven and washed away, so that every barrier that stood between us and God, the barrier of sin, could be washed away and done away with. Nothing separating me from my shepherd. I can be as close to God as I want to be because the Lord Jesus has paid the price for me to walk close with the Lord, my shepherd. And so as a child of God, I close with these two declarations based on the revelations of the 23rd Psalm. One, I refuse to fret and fear. We must choose faith over fear. Will you let the enemy drive you crazy with fear? Or will you turn your attention to the God who loves you and begin to trust in him and declare your confidence in the Lord? You must choose faith over fear. We must choose power over paralysis. Fear could grip us and cause us to freeze up for it. Listen, fear could cause you to never do another thing in your life. Fear can paralyze you. We must choose the power of God over fear and paralysis. I refuse to fret and fear. We must choose confidence over cowardice and declare, I know who the Lord is. Because I know who the Lord is, I know who I am, and I'm going to make it as I trust in him. I refuse. Would you say it with me today? I refuse to fret and fear. And secondly, I resolve to feast and flourish. If, even on my worst days, the Lord spreads a table out before me where I can sit down at the table of the Lord and drink in of his living water, amen, and feast upon his word, amen, and be filled with his spirit, amen, and experience all the blessings. If even on my worst days, the Lord spreads out all of this before me and says, you can enjoy all of this on good days and bad days. In this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, says Jesus. I have overcome the world. And if you'll walk with me, you can walk in abundance. I refuse to fret in fear, and I resolve to feast and flourish. We're going to make it with the Lord. I said, we're going to make it with the Lord. He is the Lord, our shepherd. Hallelujah.